This is Amber Ray.
And Rusty Tanton.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that feels so wrong and yet so right. In this episode, Rusty talks with Ruthie Levy, Democratic candidate for State Senate in District 32, and her campaign manager, David Lombroso.
First of all, I guess I'd just like to start with Ruthie here. Why are you running for District 32?
I see our state government as being in sort of a mess and not doing the things that I believe a state government should be doing for the people. And I think we need some changes of leadership to make the right kinds of things happen.
Okay, what specifically have you looked at and seen and said, this is not going well?
I'm very concerned about education. There have been a number of bills passed this year and last year that do not really forward the cause of education. And of course, in the course of the last 3 years, the education budget has been slashed by $1 billion, which is quite a lot of money to take away from the schools. The PTA people say we're not getting it back, and I want to know why. Why not? They are not going to get the money back. Our schools are sadly in need of, or desperately in need of, funds. So that's one area. Certainly, our transportation system here in East Cobb has been sadly neglected. We haven't had any improvements in transportation systems for quite a long while, and that needs to be addressed. As anyone who travels in Cobb County knows, the streets can be tied up in knots at peak times, so that's sort of a pain.
So there was a plan recently that was published, I guess, about a week ago to expand I-75 and 575 to up to 23 lanes. Would you support that?
I would have to take that under study, but I would give you a tentative no. I would not necessarily support that being 23 lanes. That is sort of on the ridiculous side. Even in California, we don't have freeways that big, and they have more traffic on their highways than we have here. What I would support is a bi-level situation where we have light rail using the same pathway as the I-75 and make dual usage of the space.
Okay. So if you were elected to the state Senate, would you try to push for bills that would expand MARTA, for example, up into Cobb County?
I would love to see MARTA expand into Cobb County.
Okay. More along the lines of, you said light rail there. Would you support getting the heavier rail up here? Or would, if, say, like Sam Mullins, for example, seems to support expanding highways but also having these express bus lanes where the lanes are sort of blocked off. Do you look at that as a good interim solution? Now, he's Atlanta Regional Commission Chairman
yes.
as well.
I would say that that's a good interim solution. We need to look at all possibilities for transportation, but we need, I believe that we need a light rail system, something that's like MARTA or MARTA, to come up here and take people into the city.
Mm-hmm. How would you support funding that? Because right now MARTA is funded by just sales taxes into DeKalb and Fulton counties. Is Cobb County going to have to pony up for it? Do you think it's going to be a regional transportation? Or regionally funded, excuse me?
We would have to support it with some tax money. I understand that there's some federal money available to help build it, so I would look for that as well as some state money.
Mm-hmm. The new MARTOC chairman, Jill Chambers, is a big proponent of regionalized funding for the system. And it seems to be, there's a sense, I think, that it's sort of inevitable that MARTA is going to be swallowed up by some sort of regional authority. If you look at what the Atlanta Regional Commission has done, for example, they have sort of moved the priority away from transit and things and into more widening roads to reduce congestion. Is there anything that a state senator, that you in your elected position, would be able to do to influence that in a different direction? And would you want to influence it in a different direction?
I would want to, as I keep saying, I would want to look at ways to have light rail relieve some of the traffic problems and avoid building more lanes on our highways. The side effect of adding lanes to highways is that it doesn't encourage the kind of behaviors that we want to encourage, such as carpooling, such as commuting by rail. It also will encourage growth in the northern regions without planning, which is a serious side effect.
Getting back to education, what you talked about a minute ago, would you support giving Governor Perdue and the Republican legislatures cut about $1 billion, as you said, would you support getting that $1 billion restored to the education system?
Yes, I would like to see that restored to the education system. Schools are in dire need of textbooks and classrooms and all kinds of materials. They passed a bill that said that they want to decrease class size, but they haven't funded more teachers. So they've made an impossible situation by telling them that they must cut class size, and yet there are not enough teachers and not enough classrooms to take care of that situation. So that's a problem. There's currently a bill in the legislature about mandatory physical education. They don't have enough physical education teachers, and they don't have enough facilities to do mandatory year-round physical education for all students. So you have the contradiction of creating a requirement and not supporting it with funds. And so, yes, we need to add more dollars back to the education budget. And, of course, I would require more study to say exactly where all the dollars need to go. But certainly paying teachers better would be good because it would encourage teachers to stay in the profession and good teachers to stay in other areas that are not as well paid.
How would you propose getting the money over? Because the budget went up $1 billion or so, despite them cutting $1 billion from education. So it would almost be like a $2 billion net gain there. Are there areas that you see that could be cut that would help pay for some of this stuff?
Again, I'd have to study the budget more carefully. You know, I'm a new candidate, and that's not something I've studied extensively. But I'm sure that there are areas that could be cut. We just require a lot of study on my part.
Require a little more study. How long have you been running your campaign here?
I made my decision in November and started working on it in December. I started, you know, getting around to the Democratic committees and meeting the people that I needed to meet and that kind of thing, yes.
How long have you lived in Georgia?
9.5 years.
Okay, and did you say you were from California originally?
Yeah, I'm a Californian, but this is my second trip to Georgia. I was brought here by the United States government. I was stationed down in Warden Robins when I was in the Air Force. So I was very happy to return to Atlanta. It was tops on my list as a home for me.
It seemed like in Cobb County, it would be a lot harder to get funding from the state county, or from the state party to run a Senate campaign. How do you perform your fundraising here in the county, with considering it's got to be a little harder here than, say, in, you know, Decatur or somewhere like that?
Fundraising is a person-to-person kind of thing. I need to meet a lot of people and ask a lot of times, would you please donate to my campaign? Needless to say that it's going to take a lot of money to run a campaign in Cobb County. A lot of money.
Because I'm sure Judson Hill seems like a pretty connected guy with the state party. He's a, I can't remember.
Well, he's
the name
a former Republican Party muckety-muck. That's a bad term to use, but, you know, he was at the head of the Republican Party in Georgia before he ran for this seat. Mm-hmm. So, yes, he is well-connected, and, yes, he does have a fair amount already in his little treasury from which to work. So, you know, he has a hand.
You're going to have to run a lower-funded campaign than he's going to get more money, I would assume. How do you maximize running a shoestring campaign, which is what it seems like it's going to be?
You use a lot of shoe leather instead of shoestrings, and you pound on a lot of doors. Mm-hmm. You use black and white copies instead of color copies. Mm-hmm. There's a difference of 93 cents, mm-hmm. something like that. So it saves a lot of money that way. Word of mouth, and a lot of email. I'm going to use as much email as I can. I have the spider web concept. You know, I'm at the middle, and I have friends out here, and they will spread out the web even further and further to get the word out to all of their friends. And hopefully that will help.
I noticed there was a little spray paint on the mailbox outside. I had read on the web earlier that I think your car and your mailbox and anything else, was there anything else vandalized?
Both of our cars were vandalized. The mailbox, the street signs, the stop signs, some of the neighbors' mailboxes were also vandalized.
Were there any suspects? Did you ever find out who did it?
We had a suspect, and because we didn't have any hard proof of who did it, the first time the policeman just basically walked away. Mm-hmm. So we bought a surveillance camera, and the second time he was caught on camera.
Oh, wow. Well, did it turn out to be someone who was enemy?
Well, no, it was not a political enemy in the end, although we couldn't be for certain. But it was a neighborhood kid who thought we didn't like him, and he was going to get us back for whatever he perceived us to have done to him, which, of course, was nothing. But
so you don't think it had anything to do with the Carrie Edwards stickers on the cars or anything like that?
We've had some negative comments and notes and things like that about our stickers. I mean, one day at the corner of Bishop Lake and Roswell Road, somebody was honking at me, and I thought there was something wrong, so I got out of my car to see, and he was, "You're so stupid for voting for Carrie, da-da-da-da-da." And I thought, you know, this was on a Saturday morning as I was on my way to Temple, and it upset me, and I thought, this is not the way to start my Sabbath, you know. But people are like that, and he's not the only one. So, and the night before David's car was vandalized, we found a nasty note on his car. He had just put his bumper sticker on, and, you know, how could you be so stupid as to put something on your car that proves that you're stupid? Now, that's, I suppose some people are going to do that, and I'm sure that I'll see more of it as the campaign goes along, but to me, that's not the respectful way to operate.
What kind of experience do you have that you're going to bring to the office that would be helpful?
I have a odd and wide spectrum of experiences because I have served in the United States Air Force. I'm currently teaching. I have worked as an accountant, so I have a degree in accounting, which gives me the financial background to study budgets and make sure that they balance. So I've done a lot of different things. And I think all of those experiences will come together to help me be a better legislator.
What other legislation would you try to pass if you became a state senator?
I think this is sort of a big idea, but I would want to pass a constitutional amendment that would preserve the right to vote for all eligible people of all colors, all creeds, and all genders.
Well, I mean, can't they vote now?
The Voters ID Act that was passed will greatly limit the ability of people to vote by requiring this ID card and making it difficult to get. They are going to impede the ability of handicapped, seniors, poor minority voters to vote. And that is not what Democratic America is all about.
Okay. The court struck the original version of that bill down, and they, I guess, passed it again here. Didn't they already passed
it? Yeah,
they passed it
several weeks ago. Okay. That was one of the first things they did in this session.
And so they passed an amended version where now they don't have
the $20 fee,
which was a sticking point for a lot of people, even people who might not have normally had taken an issue with that, because a lot of people called it a poll tax. But without the fee, now that they can get those licenses for free, why is it such a big impediment now?
As I understand it, there are currently only 50 offices throughout the state where people can get those ID cards. And we have 150 some odd counties. I think it's 159 counties.
59, something like that.
In this state. What that means is that people are going to have to travel some distances in order to get to those offices. And people are going to have to stand in line when they get there to get those ID cards. Now, my father-in-law, who is 80 years old, has Parkinson's and is in a wheelchair, had to stand in line for 3 hours to get his ID card. After a lot of rigmarole, I think he went to several offices before he finally had all of the required paperwork. And, of course, they're making the paperwork even more difficult because they're requiring certified birth certificates in order to prove, you know, birthplace and all that kind of thing. So that's all. Most of us just have copies. Mm-hmm. So that would be an additional barrier. You know, people would have to go out and get certified copies. And for some people, they don't have birth certificates. Even in this day and time, there are people who are born who do not get birth certificates because they live in rural areas where there aren't hospitals or certifying authorities to give them birth certificates. So they don't even have one. So those people would have even more difficulties in getting the voter ID card. So there are just too many barriers for people to become voters.
Weren't they going to start offering those in the county election offices too?
That I don't know.
I think they were going to.
They had made that modification.
Yeah, I think right before they passed it, they made that modification. But so that would put an office in every county.
But they only gave them $1,000 to set them up, and that wasn't enough.
The funding is ridiculous.
Do you have any other thoughts on how you're going to go up against Judson here in the District 32 race?
Well, I am going to go from door to door. I'm going to shake a lot of hands. I go to a lot of meetings where I meet a lot of people, and I'm going to talk about the needs of our children and the needs of our families in this state, which are not being met.
I guess I do have one last question. It just popped into my head here. Would you support a nonpartisan district mapping legislative body, like a totally separate body from the legislature? What is the term for this? It's slipping my mind right now, but
Independent
commission. Yeah.
Where you brought in people from some other state to do
totally,
it?
Yeah, basically.
Somehow
you bring in nonpartisan people to draw the maps.
Yeah, I would think that it would be very difficult to come up with a nonpartisan drawing agency, but I think it would be a good idea. My understanding of politics has greatly changed over the last couple of years, and things that I thought were in concrete, I find out aren't. And, you know, that they can change the lines and do all kinds of political games with the districts, I don't necessarily agree with that. I would like to see an independent commission come in and do some mapping and make sure that it's fair.
Something like 90% of the elections in this country turn out to be non-competitive, meaning, you know, less than, they weren't within 10% or anything like that. I don't know exactly how they measure that, but a lot of people think that that would help. But like you said, I don't know that there's such a thing as nonpartisan.
I think if they brought some people in from another state who did not have a vested interest in what goes on, it might be less likely to be partisan.
Well, I mean, don't they even have a vested interest unless you actually go along partisan lines and say, I want to bring 5 Republicans and 5 Democrats in here from outside the state and have them try to do it? Is that as close to a nonpartisan commission as you'd get?
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
I would imagine so.
All right, Ruthie. Thank you so much for talking to me here. It's been an interesting conversation. Good luck with your race.
Thank you.
You can visit Ruthie Levy's campaign website at ruthielevy.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you know a Georgia band or a hippie with a guitar that would like to have their music featured in a podcast, have them contact us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com. This way, the ending of the shows won't seem so abrupt.